When Michelle and I first got married, she let me know that she didn't care for what I call the minimalist blank white wall decor. So she informed me that we had to put some things on the wall, so that means we had to go out and we had to buy prints. Well, I'm the uninitiated in this, but I go along. So we're looking around and we settle upon a couple prints, P. Buckley Moss. If you're from Iowa, you know P. Buckley Moss. We decided on two of those. I don't know how much they were. I'm just certain that I thought they were too expensive. But that's okay. We bought them, but then came the shock. Do you all know what the shock is? Now we have to get them framed. And I find out that the framing of the print is going to cost as much, if not more, than the print. I thought, this is a scam, right? But I have to admit, after it was all said and done, that it does make a difference. Because depending upon how you frame it, that same print could have some different looks to it. Depending upon what color you put with it, you could pull out some of the colors in the print. Depending upon the width of the frame you put around it, would give you different perception of the print. So you could have one print, but all these different frames would make it just slightly different, bring out the subtleties. So in other words, when you frame it, you personalize it, and you make that print yours. The Christian church is working with one print, if you will. It is the Bible. And it is what God has asked us to do. It's the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. We're to go and make disciples of all nations. We're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind, and to love one another as we love ourselves. That's true for the whole Christian church. But every congregation has a unique role to play in God's kingdom. So every congregation should frame up its mission, frame up its vision to know its unique spot in God's kingdom. About 18 months ago, men and women, staff and leaders came together to do just that, to do what's called a vision frame, to frame up what is the uniqueness about the ministry that God has given risen Savior and what is the vision that He is calling us to accomplish. This morning, I want to reveal to you that vision frame and that vision. I cannot stress the importance of this because I believe it to be true, and I believe this is what God is calling us as a congregation to do. We take a look at what's called a vision frame. If you look at an overview of it, in the middle, what you focus in is on the vision. But that focus changes depending upon the size of the frame. If you look on the right side, that's the mission mandate. What have we been called to do? You look on the left side, why do we do what we do? What are our values? What is the heartbeat of the congregation? If you look at the bottom, well, how do we do that? How do we accomplish the mission? That's our strategy. That's how we disciple people. And at the top, that's the measures. That is, when are we successful? When do we know that, yeah, we're hitting it? So we've filled in all of those sides, and that brought into focus a vision for risen Savior. We begin with the mission mandate. What is it that God has called us to do? Well, God has called all Christians and all Christian congregations to the Great Commission. You look at Matthew 28:18, and look at the way He frames it up. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Wow. Nowhere else in the Gospels does Jesus preface His words that way. He says, "All authority has been given to me." That was like a verbal, "Y'all better listen up. I got something important to say." And then He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." So all Christian congregations, we have that same print. But what does it uniquely look like here at Risen Savior? What is the unique mission that He has given to us? I believe the unique mission statement that we came up with captures it. The one for risen Savior is engaging all generations to be passionate followers of our risen Savior. If you take that apart, there's punch in each one of those words. that is engaging all generations. In other words, we want to be a congregation that people are engaged about, that we feel that we're engaging, we're interesting, they want to be a part of us. Think of an engaging conversation. You lean in, you want to listen to what's being said, but also you want to take part in the conversation. So we want people who are engaged in ministry, not sitting on the sidelines, but engaged in what we're doing and going after what God has called us to do. And then all generations. God has put together an incredible mix here at Risen Savior, this unique blend that we have. If you take a look at our congregation, there are three distinct groups that all come together here in our congregation. We've got the 55 plus communities. They surround us on three sides. It's our heritage. That's where we began, in Sun Lakes, in the chapel. But we moved out of Sun Lakes and you had the vision to be here, which means it opened it up to young families. Young families that are to the north of us and to the east of us. Evidence, 160 plus kids in the early learning center. Evidenced by the growing Sunday school and growing confirmation classes that we have. God is bringing us young families. And then we've got the winter residents. You all come to us each winter, escaping the Midwest and all the way over on the East Coast, right? Some of you even come from Canada to be down here in the sunshine. It's great. But here's my take on that. I could be wrong. You can correct me. But winter residents, what I feel is Risen Savior isn't the church you visit when you're in Arizona. Risen Savior is your church, and this is your church family. That unique blend offers this intergenerational ministry that God has given to us. We're not just going to focus on 55 plus. We're not just going to focus on young families. We're not going to just focus on winter residents, but instead, this unique intergenerational blend of all of us coming together, learning from one another, serving side by side with one another. So we want to be engaging all generations to be passionate followers. That means we're driven. We've got energy. We've got commitment towards that. To who? Our risen Savior. Not the church, but the risen Savior. Our mission mandate, what God has called us to do, is engaging all generations to be passionate followers of our risen Savior. But why do we do that? What is the heartbeat of this place? What are the core values that are unspoken, but they're just among us? I'm not talking beliefs. I'm talking about the ethos of the place. Just the feel that you know that this is unique. This is different. This is risen Savior. If you look at the values, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, because beginning next week, I'm going to dig into each one of them from God's word of how that value plays out in our lives and in our congregation. But briefly, message over method. It is the message of Jesus Christ which is the most important. As times change, the delivery might change, but the message never changes. The message may be in a contemporary setting, traditional setting. It may be in form, it may be in a small group, it may be just two people gathering together, but the message is what's important, not the method by which the message is delivered. It is devotion over duty. We're devoted to God. We don't consider it something we have to do. It's not a duty. In other words, we don't come to church and check that box off, did that. Oh, had communion, check that box off, did that. Said my prayer for today, check that off. No, it's not about checking boxes. We want to be in worship. We want to pray to God. We want to spend time in His Word. It's devotion over duty. It's courage over complacency. This congregation has a history of being courageous, of being bold. Risen Savior, you have never been complacent. You have never just sat back and watched the world go by. Always courageous for ministry. And it is grace over guilt. Grace permeates this place. There is a warmth and genuineness, a feeling that you're at home. Sure, we stand by the Word of God, and we are firm on everything that it teaches. But grace, God's grace is what permeates our ministry. This is the heartbeat of Risen Savior. Well, what's our strategy then? How is it that we're going to make that mission a reality? How is it that we're going to make disciples of all nations? We're going to do it by people connecting to one another. It's the fellowship of believers. It's going to happen in just a few moments on the patio. You're going to share a donut and a cup of coffee. Friendships are going to be made. Connections are going to be made. Relationships are going to be built there. We do it by worship. As we come together, sure, corporately, as we receive from God His word and sacrament, as we offer back to Him prayer and praise, but even on a daily basis, our very life walk can be one of worship, of responding to God, speaking to God, praying to God, listening to God. It's just part of what we do. It's developing. Developing as the woman or man that God created you to be. Developing a deeper relationship with Him. Developing more knowledge of His word. Developing more commitment in your life. It's about answering. About answering God's call in your life. It's more than just volunteering. It's more than just filling in a spot and saying, yeah, sure, I can be there next weekend in Sunday school. It's saying that God has created each one of you uniquely, and He's given you unique gifts and talents and skills. And at some point in time, God's going to call upon you to use that in His kingdom. Maybe He's going to call upon you to be a communion assistant. Maybe He's going to call upon you to be an Ignite. Maybe He's going to call upon you to volunteer at the food bank in Chandler. But it's answering God's call to serve Him and to serve one another. Well, when are we successful? What does that look like? What does a passionate follower of Jesus look like? Well, we put it this way. You have the faith of a child. Think of the faith of a child, trusting, full of joy. You have the fearlessness of a teenager. Teenagers are fearless at times. They rush in before they think. They're bold in their actions. Teenagers, they will listen without judgment. And teenagers will stand firm for what they believe. You have the maturity of an adult, that you're willing obedience to God and what He wants in your life. Your willingness to understand that all you have is from Him and you give a portion back for His ministry. To have the wisdom of an elder, to have the gift of discernment of where God is leading and what He wants you to do next. To have a desire to leave a legacy, to have the gift of generosity. These are not age, a certain age. From 10 to 100, we should all strive to be all of these, from the faith of a child to the wisdom of an elder, because that's what a passionate follower of Jesus looks like. This is the frame, the uniqueness of the ministry here at Risen Savior, which then brings into focus our vision, which is in the center, each of it being colored by all four sides of the frame. The vision for Risen Savior for the next 5 to 10 years is based upon Acts 1:8. The scene is Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. He's gathered His disciples around them, and He gives them a promise, and He also gives them a job. He says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." He gives a promise. He says, you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. He will give you boldness. He will give you the words. He will give you the ability to do what? To be My witness. Now, you don't choose whether you're a witness or not. You are. You can either be a good witness or a bad witness. But you are a witness to your faith and your commitment to Christ, to all that are around you. But then He gives the method. He says it starts out in Jerusalem, at home. It ripples out to Judea and Samaria. And then finally, to the ends of the earth. What does that mean for Risen Savior? What is Risen Savior's then vision for the future? I believe in the next 5 to 10 years, what God is calling to do is this. South Chandler is our Jerusalem. This is where God has placed us. This unique blend of generations, this unique culture that is here, the unique values that we have. This is our Jerusalem. So we will maximize the ministry here. In the next 5 to 10 years, we will maximize the use of this facility, our current facility, to make sure that even more ministry can happen. In the next 5 to 10 years, we're looking to the north property. What can we do in the north property to enhance our ministry and to expand our ministry? A new worship center, another worship center, not a replacement to this worship center, but a second worship center so that we can reach out and avoid some of the confusion and congestion that's out there, right? In just a few minutes, you're going to go play bumper cars, aren't you? I've watched. I know. All right? How do we alleviate that so that we can make a deeper impact into the community? How can we stagger the times so that we're not starting at the break of dawn and ending at sunset? Right? How can we do that so that we can reach out to more people? How can we be more effective in our programs that reach into our community, like our concert, Christmas concert, or November Fest, or Fall Fest? We're looking to the North property as part of the solution. Now, here's the thing. Buildings are not ministry. But buildings allow ministry to happen. And right now, we are hampered by our lack of buildings. The vision for the next 5 to 10 is to maximize the 10 plus acres that God has given us on either side of the street. What about our Judea? Maricopa is our Judea. If you look at Maricopa, we have many, numerous families that make the drive in each Sunday and oftentimes during the week to be a part of our ministry. There's already one small group meeting down there. A second small group is being formed right now. Within the next 5 to 10 years, we see Risen Savior Maricopa. We see a worshiping community. We see a site down in Maricopa. Because if you look at Maricopa, they're very similar to us here. They have a 55-plus community. They have young families. And they have winter residents. That's the same heartbeat that we have here. So why wouldn't we then reach out to there, to our Judea? How about to the ends of the earth? Guatemala and South Africa. That's our world. Last year, we started work in Guatemala, building houses, partnering with two other valley churches. This year, we're going down again at the end of May, beginning of May, to build another 3 houses in the same community of Los Limones to make a deeper impact to the people there. The ultimate is that we're going to make at least 2 trips a year between the 3 churches so that we can maximize our impact and change lives. Yes, give them a place to live, but show them the love and the care and the grace of Jesus in their lives. And how about South Africa? South Africa, there's still inequality in education. How can we reach the people there? We'll continue to partner with COFA, Christian Outreach for Africa. There, they have a school that goes all the way from an orphanage through 12th grade, over 1,000 students. 1,000 students receiving a quality education, but also a Christian education. From the youngest of age, being infused with the gospel and the love of Jesus. We're changing a generation. We're helping change a community because that's our world. I believe this is the vision that God has given Risen Savior to start in our Jerusalem, to go to our Judea, and then to the ends of the earth. That vision is colored and framed up by the 4 sides that make us have a unique place in God's kingdom. Because what we want to do is we want to be about engaging all generations to be passionate followers of our risen Savior. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we have opened up our hearts, we have listened, we have prayed, and we believe that we know what our unique role is in your kingdom. We pray that you would give us the gift of your Holy Spirit and the power and the courage that he brings with him so that we can be about your work and we can joyfully be at work in your kingdom, expanding it so that more people would know your Son as their Lord and Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Promise I won't take a lot of your time, but these family meetings are the best way that I know to communicate to all of Risen Savior, at least the most of you, at what time some of the things that have been going on here. There's really only 2 things that I want to give you an update on, and that's staffing and then the building committee. So as you may know, we're looking for a director of family ministry, that is to call a DCE, a director of Christian education. They'll be working primarily with our children and youth and their families, a very, very important part of our our ministry that needs to be built up. We had a staffing committee that was formed last summer. We did issue a call in November. That gentleman felt that he was still called to remain at his current church, so he declined our call. We made the decision not to do anything during December. What a rotten time to try and make a job change right around Christmas, so we just sort of let things settle. Last Monday, we got back together as a staffing committee, and we took a look at some additional names. We've narrowed it down to three candidates, one from our previous list who is very high in our markings, and also two additional ones. We'll be interviewing those two tomorrow night, then making some decisions from there. Hopefully by the end of the month, probably more likely in February, we'll be issuing another call. If you could keep that in your prayers, that would be awesome. It is my prayer that by late spring, early summer, we could actually have a person here to join Team Risen Savior and work with our families and our youth and our children. So we keep marching on with that, and we'll see where God leads that. The building committee was formed late summer, early fall. Their first job was to pick an architect. They sent out and interviewed several, landed on Kevin Callahan. He's a fantastic guy. He's worked on well over 300 church projects. He's been on our campus in worship numerous times and at numerous events. He has really enmeshed himself in our culture so that he understands us and is working with us. The building committee, you see the names of the folks that are up there, a mixture of members at large and staff and leadership of the congregation. Now, what their job is not just a building on another property, but a master site plan. So how are we utilizing our current facilities and how can we utilize them better? So for instance, looking at traffic patterns so that we don't have bumper cars out there, and what can we do to alleviate some of that? And then how to connect the two pieces of property, because we are one campus. We just happen to have a road going through the middle of it, closer to the Indianapolis 500 from what I can see, but a road nevertheless. So that's a pretty big challenge there. In addition to the building committee, there's 22 other members that are on what's called design unfocused groups. And they're called that because they have a focus in a certain area of ministry, but we all meet together in the same room, and so we sort of play off one another so that we're not siloed in things. So the focus groups are built around worship, around children and youth, adult ministry, and then facilities and special events. So such things as Novemberfest and Fall Festival, things like that. Now, they met once in December. They met last week. Now they'll be meeting every other week until the end of February. The reason that they meet every other week is during the off week, what happens is anything that is suggested at the meeting that says, hey, we need this, then a cost estimate is made of what that will cost. So that the next time we get together, okay, you can have this, but here's the price tag on that, so that we know. So constantly along the way, we're monitoring the costs, right? So it isn't so that we're shooting for the moon and then discover in 2 months we can only make it to the North Pole. Okay, so along the way, making sure, you know, we're within the bounds, at least we think, of what we can do. Now, I wanted to give you a little bit of a brief look at some of the work that's been done. This is very preliminary, but if you take a look, I have turned my back on you. Sorry, this isn't on my back thing there. So you see our existing campus down here, and you might notice that the driveway that's currently is right there. It shifted to here, so it's in line with the road by the TPC. That also changes the traffic pattern here. Hopefully that'll make it safer around there so that there's definite ways in which people can go, easier access to us. And of course, we have our existing TPC, a fantastic building. Now, this is just a marker up here, but this is the placement where we believe that the building is going to be at, so on the west side of the property. But what that does for us is, so this is Chandler Heights right here in Almer School. I'm telling you, once that building is up, Chandler will know we are here. Any place coming down Chandler Heights, boom, that'll be Risen Savior. Coming down Alma School, boom, you'll see that it's Risen Savior. Down on the south side is the worship place, and then some classrooms up in here. Still working the details on all of that. This is a unique area here called the front yard. So that's a grassy area with a patio that's in front of it. The idea is there to have that all equipped. So when we do Novemberfest, Fall Festival, it's a welcoming place for the Christmas concert. This is a larger worship venue than the one that's here. Again, it doesn't replace this one, right? It just means that we can alleviate the congestions. We can change some times, so we're not starting at 7:30 in the morning, but much later than that. We're ending before noon, not at 12:30, if we stagger the four services between the two worship facilities. You also might note that there is a sidewalk that connects the two properties to one another. The goal here is that when people see Risen Savior, they say it's one campus. It's not two different churches, but it's one church that just happens to have a road going down the middle of it, right? That's about as far as we've got, so there's lots of work that has to happen yet, and we'll be meeting, as I say, every other week until the end of February. The goal and the hope is that before Easter, we'll have something definite to show you, some renderings, some drawings, and step you through in the decision-making process that we went through. So that's kind of where we're at. Hopefully that helps and lets you know there's lots of things that are going on here. There's more than this. There's new Bible studies popping up and all kinds of other stuff. But the two biggies, really three biggies, vision frame, talked about in my message, staffing, and then the building committee. And look at that. It is 11:02. I still have you out of here 7 minutes early. I deserve like a high five for that. Right? God's blessings. Have a great week.